Director Simpson.
Mr. Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Roebling, Scott Simpson, Director of the Parks Division again. I want to give you a little wrap-up of what 2022 was for us, talk about that year specifically, and then maybe give you some idea on some of the trends that we're seeing and how this year compared to other years. And so under number 21 in your book, we're going to start out with camping, which is the highlight again this year. We saw just over 396,000 camping units throughout the South Dakota State Park system this year. That's a number that we have not seen before. Last year, we saw just over 394,000, and that was more than we'd ever seen. And we managed to increase that by 1%, which I think that when you see the elevated numbers that we've put out the last couple of years, any time that we're gaining on this is epic, right? We probably have been looking towards a downturn, thinking, hey, we're not going to be able to sustain this, but it is. It's happening, and it's a testament to the folks that are in the field. It's a testament to the marketing efforts. It's a testament to how much people enjoy their opportunity to camp in a state park system. It makes me feel great that we are still providing a product that, while people have a bunch of other choices to spend their discretionary time, they are choosing to spend it with us. And so, yeah, 396,000 camping units this year, that was awesome. You know, we do have the November numbers there. You'll see what we're up about 10% for what we did over November of last year. Those numbers in the grand scheme of things probably don't make a big blip in the radar, but it just so happens that's the number that we beat last year by. So we needed November, which was great. Turning the page to talk about visitation, again, I go back to the idea that, we were probably thinking that sooner or later our numbers had to come back a little bit, and visitation has done that for us just a little bit. We're going to still finish the visitation at just short of 8 million visitations in the park system. That's still a number that is elevated over what we'd seen for years and years and years. So again, just a super strong year of visitation. A lot of people making their way into the parks. You can look at parks in your local areas. We pulled back a little bit this year, but when we compare that over to what we've been doing year over year over year over year, this is still a great trend. And we're going to do what we can to continue to advertise that opportunity. We would like to see more and more people every year, and we'll shift our focus into getting those folks back and increasing visitation. At the same time, visitation is one of those numbers that's a little tough to get your arms around. We've been having some operational discussions now on where we might be able to maybe fine-tune our numbers a little bit, maybe get some numbers on some trail use, just give you a little better product each and every month and maybe track things just a little bit better. On to the following page where we talk about revenue. Of course, we've got November revenue there, about $300,000. It's not by far the biggest month that we have, but it was a positive month, and I think that's great. We got some good weather. We probably had some ice fishing that started for the month. We got some folks out there, and we sold some licenses. We still had a pretty good camping number. We're up on our camping revenues for November, which, as cold as it was out there, that's a little shocking too. But all in all, November was a great month. When at the bottom of that page, when we talk about where we're at year to date with only December left, and December, if you think November's small, December is going to be even smaller. This is pretty much what we're going to see for the year. And while we do see some things that we know we need to pay attention to as far as annual pass sales and the 7-day sales into Custer State Park. When we look at what that bottom number is, what was total revenue into the Parks Division, we're within 1%, and I think, that's a weather event somewhere along the way. It's a very small number. It's a small movement. I think that it is not going to cause us to have to rethink anything from a budgeting perspective. It's going to continue to allow us to do those things that we need to do to move forward. And, you know, when we've been at these elevated levels through the COVID years, for us to maintain this is a very positive step. And so, yeah, revenue looks good. That's kind of 2020 in a nutshell. If you turn the page, we've got some graphs there that that talk about, you know, when does our business happen throughout the year. When we look at our camping units, you can see that we out of those 396,000 camping units that we do in any given year, about 255,000 of those happen over a 3-month period, June, July, and August. That's 65% of our business happens in 3 months. We're moving and shaking for 3 months during the summer. It is all hands on deck. We aren't, you know, that's not a big time of the year for us to do projects and those kinds of things. But it is definitely the revenue generating time is the time that people want to be out. Obviously the weather plays a big role in that. But the red line that you see there is what we did in 2022. And if you look at the gray bar, that's the best months that we've ever had. And when you lay that red line over the next to the gray bar, you can see that last year lined up we just about did as well as we could ever do in each month. So really positive side of the story on camping for the year. Again, visitation, it's not that dissimilar from what we see from camping. Again, obviously it makes sense, the good months we're going to see our highest visitation. But we do about 4.2 million visitations, or 54% of all of our visitations happen in those same 3 months of June, July, and August. So again, not only are we taking care of campers, but just those day users, just those trail users, just those folks that are using boat ramps, just those people that are using, you know, coming in for the day to fish. Those are definitely our biggest 3 months out of the year. When we look at some of the long-term trends, on the top of the next page, you can see that it goes back to 2003 and what we have done for camping units over the last 20 years approximately. Back in 2003, we were at 2,000 camping units for the entire year. We've almost doubled that in 20 years. Now, again, we built up some inventory. Some things have changed. You know, we've got more capacity than what we had back then. But we haven't moved around a lot on the amount of people that we've got. We've added some field staff where we needed to. We've added some seasonals. We've sure as heck taken advantage of the volunteer pool. But we're doing twice as much work with definitely not twice as many people. And, you know, just kind of looking at this as a long-term trend, you can see that this thing's holding strong over the last 3 years. We had a minor dip in 2019. That was a terrible flood year. But other than that, you see a trajectory over the last 10 years that says that camping and park use is going to stay strong. And we're gonna plan for that to try to do what we can to continue to make it strong. Down below on the same page, visitation kind of tells the same story, although that has backed off a little bit. We aren't getting quite maybe as many visits, but those folks that are showing up are camping and spending extra days with us. And like I said, we'll do what we can to try to make sure that we keep visitation strong and encourage people to come out and use our parks. On the final page, just going to talk a little bit about the shoulder season in camping and visitation. When we look at where we can increase participation, when we go back to the June, July, and August, we don't have a whole lot of room. We don't have a whole lot of extra room for camping or visitation, parking spots. We're full for a lot of the summer. So one of the places that we can see some expansion is in those shoulder seasons. And when you look at maybe what's happened over the last decade, you saw some slight increases when you're looking at camping. We were at about 40,000 in 2019. You jump to 2021, 22, we jumped up to about 55,000 camping units in May and September, what we would consider the first two shoulder seasons. You throw in October, which is, you know, doubled as well, and we're seeing people that are finding a place with us, that is outside our regular season, and we think that's great. We want to see we've got a resource out there that is underutilized for some months out of the year. Anytime that we can encourage people to come and spend time with us in those periods of time when we aren't as maybe as busy as we could be, it's great. It allows them to enjoy something that an experience that they can't get in July, right? Where it's 105. Now we can show them 30 degrees someplace and make them work at it a little bit. So anyway, that's kind of our report for the year for the month of November. But I can't tell you how proud I am of this team, the things that they've accomplished. Can't tell you how enthusiastic we are about what the future holds. We've got great participation numbers. It's our job to keep those and keep those numbers moving ahead. But yeah, record year in camping. I waited right to the end to say that, Tommy. Record camping number, and visitation looks strong. But again, just another great season from the folks that are out there doing the work every day.
Anybody have any questions for Scott? Scott, do you have do we do anything for the extreme campers? I mean, like the absolute nut jobs that go out when it's 20 below and want a tent camp, and I'm not talking about people towards the end of this table. Talking about like just normal people.
Mr. Get into that. Mr. Chair, we have the Roebling version of camping, yeah. Right? We definitely do. I mean, we're open, right? Now there's some things, you know, there's going to be certain portions of Roy Lake up in the Northeast that, we're not going to plow the road every time that it snows up there or the wind blows. But we're open. People can come in and enjoy the park. We have a camping opportunity. If you want a shower and a flush toilet, you're going to be out of luck. We winterize those in October, usually about the 1st of October. Or when the weather starts to change on us, but if you're not averse to a little chill and using a vault toilet, we've got an opportunity for you. So, we can still get Kevin out in December and January.
Very good. Anybody else have any questions for Scott, Mr. Secretary?
I'm feeling shots across the bow here, so I do have to chime in. And I guess on that note, I did spend a couple nights in a tent at sub-zero temperatures. So that being said, I just wanted to say thank you to all the staff in the Parks Division. What a phenomenal year. What a phenomenal effort. I know Scotty mentioned it, that he's proud to be a part of this team, and so am I. I'm extremely proud of staff, and I'm extremely proud to be part of this team. To think about what our mission is, you know, our mission is we serve and connect people and families to the outdoors through effective management of our state's parks, fisheries, and wildlife resources. Serve and connect people and families to the outdoors. And that's exactly what this parks team continues to do year after year after year in a record numbers of ways. And I can't thank those folks enough. I know they're long, long hours during those summer months. It doesn't happen by circumstance. I mean, it happens because of the operation that we have in our parks division, the facilities we offer, the opportunities we offer. And we're going to continue serving and connecting people and families to the outdoors. And we are extremely dedicated to that. And every one of the staff members that work for this agency are as well. So thank you.
Go ahead. Commissioner Beese.
Yeah, Commissioner Beese. Has the Parks Department ever thought about this fat tire winter biking deal? Because that's really catching on. I know Black Hills is starting to do some trails for them and stuff, if that might fit in some of our state parks around the state.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Beese, that was probably more of a conversation 2-3 years ago when I first started over on the park side. We were just having those conversations about using fat tire bikes on the snowmobile trails, and there was an interested group that wanted to use the trails, and there was some concern over conflict and safety and some of those things. And we worked with the Forest Service to allow for that to happen on a certain designated area. I am not aware that we've had any of those conflicts, and I know it's a growing thing. I because of the activity out there, I think that's the only place where I've heard that concern. As far as use of a fat tire bike anyplace else in the state park system, I think it's, you know, go ahead and have at it, you know. But it was just because of the snowmobile conflict that maybe that was a conversation out there. Now, I have not heard anybody that has come back and said that we needed to expand that necessarily. I have no doubt that there is a small group or a smaller group that would probably appreciate some more opportunity out there. And maybe we're far enough along in a test case scenario to maybe let that happen. It's a great reminder. I'll talk to Shannon about that and see if there isn't if there's more opportunity that exists or if we've had issues. I guess I really haven't gotten much of a checkup on that or an update on that.
Yeah, I would not be in favor of having them on the snowmobile trails. I think that'd be way too much conflict. But I thought it'd be a pretty good activity within state parks around the park to maybe host something like that to draw those groups to one of the parks or something to have another winter event.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Bees, yeah, I think yeah, as far as trail use and that, those kinds of things go, I don't know that we groom for those folks the same way we do for in other areas, in particular the Black Hills. I know that they make groomers for those kinds of trails, and there's been some talk about maybe trying to get one of those through our RTP program. Unfortunately, I don't think they make one that is made in the USA, which excludes it from use in that program. But yeah, I know that it happens down at Adams, where we do groom cross-country skiing trails and those kinds of things. And it's definitely something that we could look at as far as, you know, if we could cater to that in a certain area or again, run an event of some sort. It's a good idea. Thank you.
Very good. Well, I think that's a good place to draw a line in for today. We're going to let the Division of Wildlife hog the ball tomorrow to close everything up. So we've got 22 through 28 on our agenda for tomorrow, starting at 8 o'clock, same place. So thank you all, and without further ado, we'll be in recess until 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.